Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the Arizona Cardinals here. We're into the NFC West. Some changing landscape stuff with them. Kyler Murray, happy, unhappy, contract, no contract? I don't know. Hasn't signed it yet. We'll see. I do think him having another season without a contract is interesting. I think that if you're looking at some of his stats, you could say, all right, like, he probably deserves it at this point, right? He probably deserves the bag. He ranks with a huge step forward in yards per attempt this past year, huge step forward in PFF grade up to 88. Big time throw rate exploded from 4.6 to 8.1. That coincides with a drop in turnover-worthy plays to 2.1. I'm all in for the production, right? The numerical production. There's two pauses that I have. Number one, when things don't go excellent, they can really go off the rails. When you look last year down the stretch, for example, there were some struggles. Right, there were some struggles. That's when he comes back from injury. Basically, he misses some time, comes back from 13 through 18 the weeks last year. And, you know, the grades are down at PFF, right? They're still okay, but they're down. The turnover-worthy plays, he had basically almost all of his turnover-worthy plays in that span. He had 12 turnover-worthy plays last year. He had 8 of them during that brief span at the end of the season from weeks 13 through 18. And you look and his big-time throw rate was down during that period as well. So when things don't go well with him, they can really not go well. And that gives me a little bit of pause with him, generally speaking. The number two thing, and it's related, and it's something I just can't shake. This is a gut feels. I don't do a ton of gut feels, but this is a gut feel. I don't think Kyler Murray is super interested in playing football or is super interested in maybe preparing to play football. This has come up in a number of spots. He's constantly underprepared, right? You hear sniping about him and the like. You hear quotes put out that are damning about him in terms of his preparation and the like. So those two things give me a pause about making him a Supermax guy. And really, they know a lot more about him than we do. And if they're not willing to give him the full bag, like, I should have a little bit of pause, because on paper, he's taken the next step, but he hasn't been rewarded like he's taken the next step. And that gives me some pause. So that's my hang up with Kyler at this point. So that's where I'm at right now with him. I'm hung up on that general point. The next real stuff is you do have some of the changing landscape stuff with him. They traded for Hollywood Brown, signed Darrell Williams, drafted Trey McBride. They brought back Ertz. They brought back AJ Green. So those are good things. They lose the $80 million man in Christian Kirk. DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for 6 games. They lost Chase Edmonds to Miami. They also bring back James Conner in free agency. So notable there. The team ranks 7th in terms of plays per game. They rank 12th in terms of dropbacks per game. They rank 9th in terms of design rushes per game. The design pass rate was 22nd at 58.2%. Despite the air raid, they actually ranked 12th in terms of seconds per play. The PFF did a study, found them to be the most unique offensive scheme in terms of like plays run and the like there. So I think that's notable. Their scheme was more unique than, or I guess the most different. More unique isn't really, you can't quantify unique, but the most different in terms of all the other teams. So I think that's interesting. The place where it pops up for me, at least, the passing game. They rank 1st in passing attempts behind the line of scrimmage. They rank 4th in the percentage of pass rate 20 or more yards down the line from the line of scrimmage. They rank 32nd in short passes and 24th in medium. They're essentially bimodal. It's either behind the line of scrimmage or deep down the field. And there's a lot of that stuff that you could get some of the easy efficiency stuff in the middle of the field that Kyler just hasn't really done a ton of yet. And that's really where I think you can get to an next level as a quarterback, is doing some of that stuff. And he isn't doing that. So, again, there's some pause there in terms of his development. And I kind of wonder, I kind of wonder if that's part of the angle of it too, that they wonder about, right? I think that there's more there. Are they sort of scheming this up because he doesn't understand the short and middle part of the field, or why is that? I'd like to see him sort of get some of that easy stuff as well. The contract thing to me would be a big deal too. And he does some things that sort of confirm the childish type quotes about him. So overall, the team ranked fourth in terms of yards per attempt at 7.8. Scramble rate was in the top 10 at 5.1%, and sack rate was 5.8%. So a good chunk off of their dropbacks per game are going to the scramble and the sack rate there. They ranked sixth in terms of red zone volume. They ranked 10th in terms of red zone rush rate. So a lot of volume, a lot of rush rate. However, it's interesting, despite James Conner having a huge touchdown season, they ranked in the bottom five of red zone rush rate at 65.3%. So, yes, there's a potential for James Conner cutback in terms of touchdowns, but also there's room for him to consolidate maybe a smaller role. So I think that just be sort of careful before you write off the Conner touchdown numbers. This wasn't at like the high end of variance in terms of him. There's ways for his number to wiggle around, and maybe they come down in some of the rush rate stuff, but he could consolidate the role a little bit more or the like there. So just for what that's worth, I do think that there is, if there is that narrative out there, I don't think it's necessarily a foregone conclusion that he's going to have this massive drop off. We'll talk about him more in a second, but I don't think it's this massive drop off that he is just destined for. I just don't think that that's true. He did rank up in the, if you're looking for your red zone rush rate, for example, I'll just use carries inside the five. He ranked second in terms of that at 18 last year. So again, and that's good for 10 of his touchdowns. So he got some good opportunities for some cracks. There were also five for Chase Edmonds as well. So we'll see there in terms of there's not a ton more of the running back role to consolidate for him, but maybe it's a little bit more focused on the running game instead of some of the quarterback stuff as we see Murray grow. So that would just be the one thing that I'd think about for them in terms of the red zone stuff. All right, some additional stuff here looking forward. We've got expected points per game here. Pretty neutral. So 17th in terms of expected running back points per game at 23.8. Wide receiver 39.5. That's good for wide receiver 8. And then tight end is tight end 18 overall. That was 11.6. So pretty moderate in terms of their expectations, pretty balanced, wide receiver better than the other positions overall. I think the big question with James Conner is what's the potential role in the passing game? Well, he was expected for 1.0 yards per route run last year, and he performed 1.61. So he massively overperformed expectation. His yards per route run was actually better than Chase Edmonds at 1.23, despite Chase Edmonds being significantly higher in expected yards per route run at 1.21. So he outproduced Chase Edmonds by basically 0.4 of a yard per route run, despite having 0.2 lower of expectation. So just think of that. Edmonds right at expectation. Conner smashed his. So probably some good pass catching stuff there for him. Hopkins missed a bunch of times, but he performed relatively well. 1.55 expected yards per route run. He had 1.676 yards per route run. So almost 0.2 of a route, or more than 0.2 of a route, better than expectation last year. His points per route run in terms of PPR points were top 10%. So this is still a good situation, even though the volume was down a little bit last year. Some of his route participation stuff hurt as well. So just for what that's worth, I still think he's got it as a player. Maybe the situation wasn't sort of the overall best and some of the route participation was down. But we'll see. Hey, listen, if he comes back against some slower defenses because it's at the end of the season, there could be worse situations there than to throw Hopkins back out there as a 8 or 9 target per game guy against some beat up defenses when he's out 6 games. So again, as we just said, Hopkins is out 6 games. Some Ertz stuff last year in the 4 games with Arizona with Hopkins, he averaged 8.8 points per game. 3.25 receptions per game, 40 yards and 0.25 of a touchdown. In the 7 games without Ertz, he had 6.1. In the 7 games without Hopkins, Ertz had 6.1 receptions per game, 59.1 receiving yards, and 0.22 receiving touchdowns per game. So close to doubling up his receiving numbers. Receptions numbers and 50% higher in terms of the yards per game. So some good stuff there. Again, it's the beginning of the season and Hopkins is out 6 games. That's interesting. There's also a lot of change with Christian Kirk not being there. You know, is Rondell Moore going to take a step forward and all that stuff? How does Marquise Brown integrate and all that stuff? Ertz is actually one of the more we have good proof of concept about how he looks in this offense. And it was pretty good, especially without Hopkins. So I think he's an interesting guy to start the season with. And again, if you're in that premium, just think about the premium stuff there. That 6.1 edge, that's basically up almost 3 catches per game. And if you're at a 2 PPR scenario, right, that's really increasing. And that didn't correspond to a touchdown increase either there. So I think Ertz is an interesting one to start the season for sure. We'll get to his costs in a second. Rondell Moore, expected yards per route run at 1.48. His actual yards per route run was 1.64. He's good, not elite. That would be the thing that I would say. Like, there's some Debo there to him early on in the season last year, but Rondell Moore's numbers came down a little bit. So just for what that's worth, he's targeted on 24.2% of his routes. That's good for 89th percentile. His expected points per route run was 0.43. That's 86th percentile. I would say this, Cliff Kingsbury can scheme up some production, but it doesn't necessarily always consolidate in the specific players, right? So he can scheme it up. You see a lot of these higher expectations, but you don't see a ton of volume on this team. So I think that'd be the one pause thing that I would have. There was some work. I cited it in the Tampa Bay podcast here, but Timu Risky over at PFF has the most engineered yards since 2019 on the list. Debo Samuel, Chris Godwin, Mecole Hardman, Devontae Adams, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Christian Kirk. Asterisks here, Rondell Moore almost made the list with 1 season, right? So just think of the volume there with those other guys, and Rondell Moore almost made this in 1 season, right? Extremely engineered in terms of how they want to use him. Is that a good sign for him? Well, yeah, it's probably a good sign in terms of volume. The question is, if it's a lot of that engineered short stuff, how great is it in terms of overall production? That would be my pause there with him. Again, when you look at some of this stuff, I don't think he's particularly expensive. So we'll just go through this. Kyler Murray, quarterback 5 in RDP. He's 5 in underdog. James Conner, running back 27 in RDP. He's 14th at underdog. Eno Benjamin, running back 60 in RDP, 67 at underdog. Darrell Williams, 59 in RDP, 52 in underdog. DeAndre Hopkins, 46th in RDP, 36th in underdog. I think that's probably a good sign. You feel pretty good about him at his dynasty cost. AJ Green outside the top 100, and then he's 84th in underdog. I think he's got the ability to beat that, especially early on. Like, if you need to eat up some innings early on in the season, AJ Green's probably fine for you to do that. Rondell Moore, 54 and 55 respectively between RDP and underdog, so pretty neutral. I think I'm probably bailing on him at the cost in terms of some of if you're going to kind of go with the, like, you don't love that as a dynasty cost investment. If his projection's a wide receiver 5, it feels like an avoid situation. Ertz, tight end 10 in dynasty, tight end 15 in dynasty, tight end 10 at underdog. So some good stuff there for him in terms of his projection there, potentially beating his dynasty costs here over the next couple of years. He's coming off a nice contract extension as well. So we like to see that. You know, overall, I think the big things I'm watching for here, I'm pretty bullish on Connor. I'm bullish on DeAndre Hopkins as being a potentially cheap guy that you could get in the later parts. Is it well into the double digit rounds, and he's basically like a stretch run wide receiver addition for you, right? That's sort of something to think about there with him. Like James Conner's role and production quite a bit, and I want to see some growth out of Kyler Murray. And we'll you know, that's basically the big things I'm watching for. So that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.